Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It is October the 18th. We are in Melachim Beis, at Wef the Perek Test, Chapter 9.
We are starting 9?
Starting 9.
Okay.
No? What do you have?
We have a bunch of loose ends. Continue.
Well, yeah. No, I said we're going to start.
That.
We're starting. I know. But okay. We're starting with Perek Test. So we ended off last time with a whole bunch of loose ends which have to be tied together. We put them on the board. There's a little bit more than what we actually put on. But as we said, we're going to start with Perek Test and read about how things develop, and we're going to try to bring these things together as time goes on. We have now, hopefully, some uninterrupted weeks of learning, and we're going to try to put it all together. But it is going to be, as I mentioned at the end of our last class, it is going to require some memory of previous classes as we go along. Meaning, as we move along now, it's we're going to keep referring back to what we've been doing. Ve'Elisha Navi Karla Achad Mibnei HaNavim. Elisha the Navi called to one of the Bnei HaNavim. Doesn't say his name here, but last time we mentioned who this was going to be. Who remembers? Who is this Navi that Elisha's calling to? This Navi is Yonah.
Yonah.
Yonah was a Talmud. He was a student of Eliyahu, and now he's a Talmud of Elisha. So Elisha calls to him. Vayomer lo, and he says to him, Chagor Masnecha. Literally, that means tighten your belt. I know they say gird your loins. It means tighten your belt. V'kach pach Hashem and Hazev Yadecha, take this flask of oil in your hands. V'leich Ramos Gilad, go to Ramos Gilad. Ramos Gilad is a place on the other side of the Yarden. Go there. Uvasa Shama, you shall come there. Urei Sham Yehu ven Yehoshaphat ben Nimshi. You will see there Yehu, the son of Yehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi. This is not the same Yehoshaphat as the king of Yehuda, which we had a little while ago. But this is Yehu, the son of Yehoshaphat. He's called Yehu ben Nimshi. Nimshi is his grandfather. But Yehu ben Yehoshaphat ben Nimshi. Uvasa, you shall come back. Moso mitoch echav, you shall raise him up from amongst his brothers. Veheveisa uso cheder b'chader, bring him room into room, which means you should bring him into a secluded room, all to yourselves. Make sure you're completely alone. When you are alone, v'lakachta v'acha shemen, you shall take the flask of oil, v'yotzakta aroshon, you shall pour it on his head. V'amarta, you shall say, k'omar Hashem, so says Hashem, mishachticha lemelech al Yisrael, I have anointed you as king to Yisrael. V'fasachta adeles, you shall open the door of Inasta and run away. For lo, sechaket, do not tarry. Don't wait. Open the door and take off. So tell him he's king and then get out of there as fast as you can. Now, this is a dangerous thing to do because Yehoram, son of Ahab, is king. And by doing this, it's a merida. It's a rebellion. Vayelech Hanar Hanavi, Ramos Gilad. And the lad went, the lad, the Navi, he went to Ramos Gilad. So it repeats the word Na'ar over here. So one way of explaining it is, the way Rashi explains it, is the lad went, who was the student of Elisha. The lad of the Navi, the student of Elisha. Ramos Gilad to Ramos Gilad. Question is, why does it say it that way? It seems that here Yonah might be, this is the first we hear of him as being a student of Elisha. He was a student of Eliyahu. He's the one that Eliyahu brought back to life, was Yonah. And here we see him acting as a student of Elisha. This is significant. It's an important point because you'll notice one of the things that we said we were going to cover, again, this is just filling in part of it, but we're still not ready to tackle it in a big way, is the line of the Nevi'im from Eliyahu to Elisha, and then which should have been Gehazi. Gehazi would have been next in line. Gehazi went off And Elisha tried to bring him back. It didn't work. And Gehazi lost his chelek in Olam Haba. So here it appears that Yonah is replacing Gehazi. Even though we're not going to hear much about Yonah, other than the one sefer we have of Yonah, we're not going to hear much about him here other than this, but it seems that Yonah is replacing Gehazi. He is now the nar of Elisha. That's what it seems is going on. And he goes to Ramas Gilad. Vayavo, and he comes, Vine Sarei HaChayol Yoshvim, and the officers of the army are sitting. Vayomer, Davar Lielecha Hasar, I have a word for you, the officer. He does not specify which one. Vayomer Yehu, Yehu says, Elmi Mikulanu, who from all of us do you want to speak to? Vayomer, and he says, Elecha Hasar, you, the officer. Now it is noteworthy that Yehu is the one who speaks up and says, who do you want to speak to? As Yonah walks into the room and he says, I have a word for one of you. I have a word for you, he says. But he doesn't say who you is. Anybody could have said, who do you mean? But it is Yehu who speaks up, which already indicates that Yehu was a recognized leader of that group, even though he was with his peers. But since he's the one who speaks up, it appears that he was the one that was the spokesperson. People understood that if something was going to happen, he'd be the one to speak up. So Yonah says, I want to speak to you. I have a word for you. Now they knew that Yonah was a Navi, and they were aware that this likely meant a word from Hashem. Vayakam vayavo habaisa, and he got up and he went into the house or the room. Habais can also mean a room. And then vayitzok Hashem el rosho, Yonah pours the oil on his head. Vayomer lo, he says to him, Kol mar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, so says Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Mishachticha lemelech elam Hashem el Yisrael, I have anointed you as a king over the nation of Hashem, over Yisrael. V'kisa es beis achav adonecha, you shall strike down the house of Achav, your master. V'nikamti demei avadai ha-neviim, and I, Hashem, will now avenge the blood of my servants, the neviim. U'demei kol avdei Hashem miyad Izavel, and the blood of all the servants of Hashem from the hands of Izavel. All those who they murdered, we're now going to avenge their blood. V'avad kol beis achav, and all the house of Achav will be lost. And I will cut down for Achav even those who are mashtin bikir. We've had this term before. Literally, it means to urinate against the wall. Some say that means even the animals. Others say it means even the small children. They're all killed out. V'atzur v'azuv b'Yisrael. And there'll be nobody to save him in Yisrael. The entire house of Achav will be destroyed, will be cut down. And I'll make the house of Achav like the house of Yeravam ben Nevat, which was completely killed out, and like the house of Basha, who succeeded Yeravam. He'll also be ben Achia, he was also killed out. So too, the house of Achav will be killed out. And Izevel yochlu haklavim, the dogs will eat her, bechelik Yisrael, in the portion of Yisrael. The ain kover, and there'll be no one to bury her. Vayiftach hadeles, Yonah finished his nevuah, and he opened the door. Vayanos, and he ran away. So now Yehu is left with oil on his head, and these instructions. So now what? He wasn't told how to do this. He wasn't told how to fight Achav. Yehoram. Yehu yatzai l'avdei Adonav. Yehu went out to the servants of his master. Now you notice now everybody else is called the servants of his master. He's not the servant of his master anymore because he was anointed as king. Vayomer lo, and he said to him, meaning one person amongst those people spoke up and said to him, Hashalom, is everything okay? Madua ba hamishuga haze elecha. How come this crazy man came to you? Referring disparagingly to Yonah. Now, the Navi is sometimes called a mishuga. Mishuga means somebody acting in a funny way, because when a Navi gets Nevuah, even though the Navi's perception of what Hashem is telling him is crystal clear, a Navi has more perception of his Nevuah than we do of the physical world around us. When it says that a Navi does not see Bas Baklaria Hami'ira, he doesn't see with a clear glass, only Moshe Rabbeinu sees Bas Baklaria Hami'ira, all of the Navim see Bas Baklaria She'ena Mi'ira, that all of the Navim see in a clouded glass, that means relative to Moshe Rabbeinu. Their Nevuah, relative to Moshe Rabbeinu, is cloudy, meaning Moshe saw much more clearly than they did. But a regular Navi sees his Nevuah and understands and perceives his Nevuah in a greater, clearer fashion than we perceive the physical world around us. So we're sitting here in this room. There's a table here. There are walls. There's lights. There's people around us. Our perception, a Navi's perception, is far greater than that. Nevertheless, even though that's true, but the Navi, because he... you can think of it as his entire focus is totally spiritual at the moment he's getting his Nevuah. His physical body, therefore, is left uncontrolled. He's not focused on his physical body. Therefore, a Navi, when he's getting Nevuah, his body can move in funny ways. It's like a person who looks like he's drunk or crazy, not controlling his limbs in a normal fashion. So, therefore, when people wanted to say something disparagingly about a Navi, they would call him a Meshuga, a crazy person. And that's the way they referred to him here. Vayomer aleihem. So Yehu said back to them, Atem yadatem es ha'ish ves sicho. You know the man and his talk. So he was trying to make them believe that it was no big deal. Yeah, you know about him and his talk. Like, you know, whatever he said, it's irrelevant. Vayomru, and they said, Sheker, that's a lie. Hagen lanu, tell us now. That's, tell us what happened. So they pushed him. They wouldn't accept that it was no big deal. Vayomer, so he told them, Kazos v'chazos amar elai lemor, such and such, he said to me, saying, Komar, Hashem says, is Hashem, mishachticha lemelech al Yisrael, I've anointed you to be king over Yisrael. Now, the following was a nace. If this should happen, so there should be one of two reactions. Either scoffing, like, ha, that's a good one, right? That's funny. Or you're a traitor. What do you mean, king? We have a king. These are loyal subjects of Yehoram. The Yehu has no army. He has nothing. He has nothing to back himself up. He's one person now who claims he's king. So either you laugh at him, you're a fool, or you take him seriously and you cut off his head. That's what should have happened. One of the two. But instead, vayemaharu, they were quick. Vayku ish bigdo. Each person took his cloak, vayasimu sachtav, and they put it under him, el gerem hamalos, to the gerem hamalos. The gerem hamalos was a way of telling time. They had, we would call it stairs, steps, that its purpose was, it was situated in a way where the shade of the sun, there was an object near this. Well, not exactly a sundial, because there were steps. So there was an object that would cast shade on the steps. As the sun got higher in the sky, the shade would diminish. So in the beginning of the day, the shade would the top step would be in shade. As the day went on, then the top step would go into the sun, and this second step would be in shade. Then the third step, we go further down to, and when it was at the middle of the day, then none of the steps were in shade. So it was a way of telling time. So because it was steps, so it was an elevated place. So they took their cloaks, they put it down on this Gerem Ma'alos, that he should then sit on top of their cloaks, on top of the Gerem Ma'alos, which would make him clearly elevated over all of them. So it was a symbolic way of pledging their allegiance to him. Vayisku ba'shofar, they blew on the shofar, vayomru, and they said, Malach Yehu. Yehu has become king.
So now they're all traitors.
Right, they're all traitors. Right. That's what I'm saying. It's a nace that this happened, that they accepted him.
It's a nace that nobody else heard and did something.
Oh, wait, we're going to get to that. Okay. Vayiskasher, now they were not in the city, because they're out on the battlefield, and that's where they were in Ramos Gilad. Vayiskasher Yehu ben Yehoshaphat ben Nimshi al Yoram. So Yehu ben Yehoshaphat ben Nimshi. Vayiskasher means he rebelled against Yoram. V'Yoram haya shomer b'Ramos Gilad. Yoram was waiting in Ramos Gilad. He was also in Ramos Gilad, a different area of Ramos Gilad, where he was waiting there. They had been beaten in the war against Chazal, and now he had kind of gathered the defeated army into Ramos Gilad. Hu v'chol Yisrael, he and all of Yisrael, mipnei Chazal melech Aram, because of Chazal the king of Aram. Vayashav Yehoram hamelech l'Yisrapei b'Yisrael. So Yehoram the king, he then turned away from Ramos Gilad to
recuperate,
thank you, in Yisrael. Mina makim asher yakuhu aramim, from the blows that he had been hit by the aramim. Bilachamo es Chazal melech Aram, when he had the war with Chazal. So he's now in Yisrael. Vayomer Yehu, so Yehu said, Im yesh nafshechem, if you're all with me, you know, you're all in on this. Al yetze falit min ha'ir l'leches l'hagid b'Yisrael. Nobody should escape from this city, from this area, from Ramos Gilad, to go tell in Israel. I want to surprise Yehoram. I don't want someone going and saying that I have rebelled. So if you're in on this, you make sure that no one leaves Ramos Gilad. You set up a garrison and you stop anybody from leaving Ramos Gilad. Someone's leave, you kill him. You don't let anybody leave Ramos Gilad. Vayirkav Yehu. So Yehu then rode with an entourage. Vayelech Yisrael. He went to Yisrael. Ki Yoram shochev shama, because Yoram was lying there. He was lying because he was badly injured. And remember, Vachazya melech Yehuda yarad lirosas Yoram. Achazya, the king of Yehuda, had gone to visit his friend Yehoram ben Achav. So as we mentioned last time, we now have the king of Yehuda and the king of Yisrael, both of whom are Rishayim, together in the same place, and we have Yehu coming to get rid of Yehoram, the king of Yisrael. Now, before we go any further, Yisrael, why is that significant, Yisrael?
Go forward, go straight, no?
No, just where we had it before. Okay, let's hold off. You'll see as we get to it. This is a very, very important point that they're in Yisrael. So now you have the two of them in Yisrael. Yehoram is coming, Yehu is coming from Ramos Gilad. Vatsofa omed al amigdal. So the outlook was, the lookout was standing on the tower, Yisrael. Vayares shifas Yehu bevo. And he saw the battalion of Yehu as it was coming. Vayomer, and he called down, Shifas ani roe. I see a battalion coming our way. Now, they had just been beaten by Chazal, king of Aram, so this might have been a lead scouting group from Chazal to see what's going on with the Jews. So it was dangerous. Vayomer Yehoram. So Yehoram said, "Kach Rakov, take a rider, a chariot, Ushlach likrasam, and send to greet them. Vayomer Hashalom, and he should say, 'Is this peace?' So, what are you coming for? What is going on here? Vayelech rocheva sus likraso. So the rider of the horse rode to greet Yehu. Vayomer, and he said, Komer hamelech, so says the king, Hashalom. Is everything okay? Vayomer Yehu. So Yehu said to the rider, Malacha ulishalom. What's it to you and to peace? Soval acharoi. Turn to behind me. Now there's join me. Vayagena tzofen leimor. So the lookout said down to Yoram, Baha malach anheim v'lo shav. The messenger got as far as them, as this battalion, and did not return. Because what happened is, as soon as he got there, and Yehu said, what do you care about peace? And what your former king has to say, get behind me. And he did. He got behind Yehoram. So, behind Yehu. Yehu only needs to tell people, get behind me, and they get behind them. It's to show, we're showing here how easy it is. Hashem is making this, it's smooth. It's Yehu's going to win this, one way or another, even though he had no, there's no logical reason for this rebellion to work, but it is going to work. Vayishlak rochev sus sheni. So then Yehoram sends a second rider on a horse. Vayavo alemi kits to them. Vayomer, and he says, Komer amelech shalom. So says the king, peace. Vayomer Yehu, malach olo shalom, what's it to you and to peace? So valach aroi, get behind me. Vayagin hatzof olemer, so the lookout said to Yehoram, Ba'ar aleihem v'lo shav, he got to them and he did not return. Now they're closer, so the lookout is able to say, Veha minhag keminhag Yehu v'nimshi. The way that they're riding is like the way of Yehu ben Nimshi. Now, what was so significant or distinct about Yehu ben Nimshi's way of riding? Ki b'shigaon yinhag, because he would ride b'shigaon. Shigaon means crazy, right? Same word as before, as similar to the word of Meshuga before. As he was a crazy rider. He was not a deliberate, organized. He was just out there. Which also makes it difficult to understand how this could have been successful. Because he wasn't one for careful, deliberate stealth. That wasn't Yehu's way. Yehu just came at you. So he said, it looks like Yehu. Now Yehu was a loyal soldier of Yehoram. At least that's what they thought. Vayomer Yehoram, so Yehoram said, Esor, which means saddle my chariot. Vayesorich bo, so they saddled his chariot. Vayetze Yehoram melech Yisrael, v'achazyo melech Yehuda, ish berich bo. So both of the kings, Yehoram, the king of Israel, and Achazyo, the king of Yehuda, each came out on their own chariots. Vayetzu likras Yehu, they came out to greet Yehu. Vayim tsa'uhu, and they found him, Bechelkas Navos HaYisraeli. They find him in the portion of Navos HaYisraeli. Who was Navos HaYisraeli?
Oh, his stuff was taken, right? And it was given over to the king.
Achav wanted the vineyard of Navos HaYisraeli. Navos did not want to sell it to him.
Right.
So Achav had charges brought against Navos that Navos had cursed Hashem and the king. Mm-hmm. And he had him killed, and therefore he inherited the land because it was Mord B'malchus because he was a traitor. So that was a terrible aver that Achav did. And even though Achav was already a Rasha for being Oved Avodah Zarah, but this was in a certain way worse because the Oved Avodah Zarah was against Hashem. But this was a blatant taking advantage of another human being in a terrible way just because he wanted his vineyard. And therefore, it was decreed that Achav's descendants, and as we'll see, Izebel, will be killed in the portion of Navos HaYisraeli. That's where he'll be killed. So that is, coincidentally, obviously, so to speak, where they meet up. When they're coming out to greet him, they meet up in the portion of Navos HaYisraeli. Vayhi kiros Yehoram es Yehu. So when Yehoram saw Yehu, Vayomer, he said, Hashalom Yehu, Okay, was everything okay? Now they're concerned, like what's going on here? Vayomer. So now Yehoram, Yehu plays his hand. Ma shalom, what is the peace? Ad zinunei zevalimcha uchshaveha rabim. For the zinunim, now znus would be promiscuity. But here it refers to really all of her bad behavior, all of the immorality of Izevel, your mother, and her much sorcery, kishofim. So now Yehoram realizes that Yehu is out to get him. Yehoram doesn't have an army with him. He came out to greet Yehu, thinking Yehu was one of his guys. Yehoram turned his hands to escape. Vayomer al Achazio, he said to Achazio, Mirma Achazia, Achazia, this is treachery. We're being attacked. V'yehu mile yado vakeshes, so Yehu filled his hand with the bow. Vayaches Yehoram bein zro'av, and he struck Yehoram between the arms. Vayetze achetzi mili bow, and the arrow went out through his heart. Vayichra berichbo, and he killed over in his chariot. He hit him in the back, because Yehoram had turned around, so he shot him in the back between the shoulder blades, and the arrow went through his back and into his heart and went out the other side. And he kills over in his chariot. Now, why does it say that he was hit between the arms? We'll just say hit him in the back. Why between the arms? What was Yehoram guilty of besides this? Before he became king, he had done a terrible avera. If you recall, the mother, the wife of Ovadia Hanavi, back in the story with the oil, that Elisha has the oil keep on pouring and pouring, that the wife of Ovadia Hanavi says that my husband was feared Hashem very much, and now the creditor is coming to take my sons as slaves to pay off his debts. Who was the creditor? Yehoram ben Achav. Why did Ovadia borrow money?
To keep the prophets alive.
Okay, to keep the 100 prophets alive that he was saving from the evil Izevel. But Yehoram lent money with Shochad. Excuse me, with interest. So because he took interest, which is what does with their hands, one takes interest, therefore he was struck between the arms. Chafhei 25, Vayomer el Bidkar Shalisho. So he, Yehu, said to a man in Bidkar, one of his attendants, Sa hashnichehu, carry and throw Yehoram, Bechelkas sedei Navos HaYisraeli, into the portion of the field of Navos HaYisraeli. Ki zechorani va'ata, because I and you remember, Es rochvim tzmadim, when we were riding, tzmadim means together. We were riding together. Acharei Achav Aviv, behind Achav his father. V'Hashem nasa lov es hamasa hazeh, and Hashem sent him the following announcement. After Achav had Navos killed, Eliyahu HaNavi came to Achav with a message from Hashem, and Yehu says, you and I, referring to Bidkar, you and I were there, riding together behind Achav, when we heard Eliyahu say to Achav the following thing. Imlo estemei Navos vestemei vanav ro'isi emesh num Hashem. If I have not seen the blood of Navos and the blood of his children, his unborn children, because you killed them, I saw them yesterday. So says Hashem. Actually, he also killed the sons of Navos. V'shilamti l'cha b'chelka hazos num Hashem. And I will pay you back. I will punish you in this portion, says Hashem. That's what Hashem said. Eliyahu told Achav, because you killed Navos and his children, you will be killed in the same portion. V'ata now, says Yehu, Sa Hashnichil ba chalka kidvar Hashem. Lift him up and throw him into that portion like the word of Hashem. Yehu is at this point a tzaddik and doing what Hashem wants him to do. That's why he's being successful and he is trying to carry out the words of the Nevi'im. So, Yehoram is killed and Yehoram's body is thrown into the portion of Navos. V'achazia melech Yehuda ra'a. Now Achazia, the king of Yehuda, sees what's going on. He's not the primary target. Vayanas, so he escaped. Derech beis hagan, on the way of the garden. Vayudov acharav Yehu. Yehu chased after him. Vayomer, and he said, Gamo sohaku el hamerkava. He also should be struck down in his chariot. B'male gur asher es Yivlam, in Male gur that is near Yivlam. Vayanas Megiddo, and he escaped to Megiddo, Vayamas Sham, and he was killed there. So he was struck, and the chariot kept on going, and he died in this place called Megiddo. That's where he was killed. That's where Achaziah, the king of Yehuda, was killed.
When it says Yamut, it just means he died, or does it mean he was killed?
Well, it means he died, because he was hit already, and then later he died from his wounds.
Okay.
Now, Achaziah was a Rasha, as we've already learned. And Achaziah was killed. Here it doesn't explain it, but in Divrei Hayamim, it explains it more broadly, that Yehu said, Achaziah is a Rasha, and therefore we're going to kill him too, because he deserves it. Because he's been acting like Achav's family, which was correct. So even though Yehu's primary job was to destroy Achav's family, he also destroys the king of Yehuda, who is partially from Achav's family, because his mother, Asalia, is from Achav. Vayarkivu oso avadav Yerushalayma. So his servants rode him to Yerushalayim. He's already dead. Vayikvuru oso bikvuraso. They buried him in his burial plot, imavosav, with his ancestors, Bir David and Ir David. So he's not thrown onto the field like Yehoram is, unburied, but he is killed and he is buried. Now, we're going to keep going over here, but let me just give a little bit a recap from last time. Remember that let's go back to the kings of Yehuda. We had Yehoshaphat, who was the great tzaddik. Yehoshaphat's son was Yehoram, not to be confused with Yehoram ben Achav, the other Yehoram Yehoshaphat's son. Yehoram Yehoshaphat's son was a rasha. He killed out all of his brothers. And he was now the only one left in the line from Yehoshaphat. Hashem sent him. Remember, he got a letter from Eliyahu Hanavi. But Eliyahu Hanavi was already not here anymore. But he still got a letter. Remember that? So he got a letter from Eliyahu Hanavi saying that because of all of his rishus, because he's so evil, therefore he's going to be killed. And he suffered terrible, terrible sicknesses. His stomach is terrible sicknesses. And therefore, in the last year of his life, before he died, he already made his son, Achaziah, as the acting king. Now, he had many sons, but as part of the punishment to Yehoram, the son of Yehoshaphat, the Eretz Yehuda was conquered and beaten by enemies, and they took all of the children of Yehoram away, and his wives. And eventually they killed them. So now, not only does Yehoram have no brothers, because he killed them, he only has one son, Achaziah. That's all he's got. So in the line of David, it's getting a little precarious. Because Yehoram, the previous king, is now dead. He dies. He's got no brothers. His son Achaziah is the only descendant left. and he becomes king a year before his father Yoram dies. That's what it means here in Pasuk Chavtes, verse 29. In the 11th year of Yoram ben Achav, Malach Achazia al Yehuda, that's when Achazia became king over Yehuda. Now this is a contradiction. There's another pasuk that says that it was that Yehoram ruled for 12 years. So why in the 11th year does Achazia become king? So it means because Yehoram got so sick he couldn't function and couldn't run the country anymore, and therefore Achazia became king 1 year prior to his father's death. After Yehoram died, then Achazia continued being king. He was king for 1 year, and then he was killed. So here, this Pasuk Chavtes is a throwback. It's explaining to you that although Achazia only ruled for 1 year, he really ruled for 2 years, because there was a year prior to his father's death when he was the acting king. So now Achazia dies. Now, that's very important, because who's left? So Achazia's children are the only ones left. That's it. So we're going to get back to that. Pasuk Lamed, verse 30. What about the main evil? What about Yizevel? Vayavo Yehu Yisraela. So Yehu comes to Yisrael. V'Yizevel Shama. Yizevel heard this. She heard what happened. She heard that her son Yehoram had been killed. She heard that Yehu had successfully mounted this rebellion. V'tosem bapuch eineha. So she put makeup on her eyes. Vatetev esrosha, and she made her head beautiful. Vatashkev barachalon, and she looked out the window. Viehu ba bashar, Yehu came in the gate. Vatomer, and she said, Hashalom, is everything okay? Zimri hore gadonav, Zimri who kills his master. What was she saying? Remember that Achav had a father, Omri. Omri was the father of Achav. And there had been, Zimri was also an ancestor, and he had killed the previous king in order for the house of Achav to become the kings. Meaning, the house of Achav also came about through a rebellion. They weren't the first ones. There was Yeravim, there was Basha. So they had killed out the previous dynasty. So she says to him, you're the new Zimri Hore Gadonav. Which she was saying it as a compliment. She was hoping to be spared because she was hoping to jump ship from the Achav ship to the Yehu ship. And she was hoping that he would see her and be interested in taking her as a queen. So Yizevel wants to continue in her position. Vayisa fanav el achalon, he lifted his face to the window. Vayomer, and he called out, he said, Mi iti mi, who is with me, who? He was calling for help. Vayashkifu elav shnayim shlosha sarisim, and two or three of his soldiers, attendants, came to him. Vayomer, and he said, Shimtuha, pull her down. Throw her down from the window. Vayishmituha, they threw her down. They didn't take her down nicely. They threw her out the window. Vayiz midama el hakir, and from her blood splattered on the wall. Velasusim, and to the horses. Vayir misena, and he trampled her. As she got thrown out the window onto the ground, blood splatters everywhere, and then he takes his horse and he tramples on top of her. Vayavo, and he comes, Vayocha Vayesht, and he ate and drank. So Yizevel is dead. So Yehu goes to eat and drink. Vayomer, and then he said, Piktu Noes Harura Hazos Vikivruha, go find this cursed woman and bury her. Kibas Melachi, because she is the daughter of a king. It's not appropriate for us just to leave her like that. He was very upset. Here was Yizevel, really the source of all of the evil that's going on, and she's trying to entice him, so he just lets her have it. And once she's dead, he just forget her, and he goes and has a meal. Then he says, okay, you know what? She is a bas melech. We should bury her. Vayelchu lekavra, they went to bury her. V'lomatzu va kimagul goles, v'haraglayim, v'chapos hayadayim. They didn't find anything from her except her skull, her feet, and the palms of her hands. Everything else was gone. And so the Navi explains, Vayashuvu Vayagidulo, they returned and told him, Vayomer, so Yehu said, Dvar Hashemu, that is the word of Hashem. Ashadibir Biyan Abdu Elio Atishbi Lamar, that he spoke in the hands of Elio Atishbi, saying, Bechelik Yisrael Yochlua Klavim Es Besari Zevel, in the portion of Yisrael, because it was her idea in the first place. She's the one who told Achav to frame Navos. So in the portion of Yisrael, the dogs will eat the flesh of Yisrael. And the corpse of Yisrael will be like fertilizer. Thank you. Domen can mean like dung on the face of the field in the portion of Yisrael. Ashal yomru, that they should not say Zos Yisrael. This is Yisrael. There will be no grave for anybody to come to and say this is Yisrael. Yisrael was such a terrible Risha, so she was obliterated, made into essentially fertilizer on the face of the field. Why does her head, hands, and feet, why do they not get eaten? So we've mentioned this before, that the one redeeming quality that Yisrael had was that at a chasana, she would dance in front of the kala, to be misameach the kala. And which, because she would do that, she would move her hands and her feet and her head in the way she would dance, and that was to bring joy to the kala. And because of that, that was the one redeeming quality, and therefore those parts of her body were not destroyed. So as terrible as she was. Now remember, Yisrael was not just an Ovedes Avodah Zarah, and not just was she also terrible in the way that she got her husband to frame Navos. She was also Prutza. She was a promiscuous woman. Remember that Achav was not a promiscuous man. He was not a person who was naturally drawn to that type of thing, which is why Yisrael had drawn into his chariot pictures that were immoral pictures of prostitutes in his chariot, so that he would be interested in her. That's what she had done. Here, she tries to entice Yehu. Now, does Yehu need help to kill Yisrael? Yehu is a very powerful warrior. He was a warrior before he mounted the rebellion. He's a powerful person, and he's able to kill people right and left. So now Yisrael calls to him, and he calls out, "Who me et me? Who is with me? Who?" And two or three people come up, and he says, "Throw her down," and they take care of her. Why did he do that? Why didn't he just kill her? Now it seems to me, although I do not have this is my own suggestion, I don't have a source for this, just from the way it's being presented over here. The Gemara tells us that, the Gemara in Kedushin says that Rav Amram was one of the great sages of the Gemara. And so it says that there were some young women who had been taken captive. They were kidnapped and they were ransomed. Young Jewish women, they were ransomed. When they were ransomed, so it was evening time, they had to be put up overnight until the next day where they could be returned to their families. So they said, "Where are we going to put them?" They didn't have, you know, big hotels or anything in order to put these young women. So they said, "We'll put them in Rav Amram's house," because he was a chassid, he was a very pious person, and we don't have to worry about him. They put the young women up in the attic on the second floor, and that's what it calls the second floor, is an attic, second floor. And they didn't have a permanent stairwell the way we have it. They had like a portable ladder or stairwell, whatever, a ladder to put up there that a person could climb up. So the ladder was very, very heavy, and it took 10 men to lift the ladder. So they took the ladder and they put it down so that the young women were stuck upstairs. Rav Amram was stuck downstairs, and that was that. So the Gemara says that at a certain point, he was on the bottom floor. One of the young women walked past the opening in the ceiling, and she was very beautiful, and her face glowed, shone, and the shine came down to where Rav Amram was, and he looked up and he saw her. And he was now overcome. And he lifted the ladder that it takes 10 men to lift. He lifted by himself. And he put it up and he started going up the ladder. So the Gemara says he got halfway up the ladder. He pushed his arms and his legs against the rungs of the ladder. And he screamed, Nura Bey Amram, Nura Bey Amram. There's a fire in Amram's house. There's a fire in Amram's house. He raised the alarm. Like he pulled the fire alarm. So everybody came running. So when they came running, they saw him on the ladder like that, and they said, Rebbe, we're embarrassed to see you like this. So he said, I'm glad you see me like this. Better you should see me like this now, rather than I should be embarrassed, you'll see me in Olam Haba, if I would have done the Avera. And then the Gemara says, that incident gave him power over his Yetzer Hara. When a person has a very difficult challenge and overcomes it, they are given a certain strength over their Yetzer Hara that they did not have before. That's true even today. That doesn't have to be Rav Amram. On our level also, if a person has a very difficult Nisan, a very difficult challenge, and is able to rise above it, they are given a very special power over their Yetzer Hara at that moment. And he took an oath, and his Yetzer Hara, it says, came out of him. It left his body, and it looked like a fire leaving Rav Amram's body, which really was the double entendre of Nura Bey Amram, there's a fire in Amram's house. And it left. That's the Gemara in Kedushin. So he was willing, that's what he did. He raised the alarm because he was willing to go through the shame of people coming and seeing him like that in order to stop himself, because he knew once people are there, he's not going to do the Avera. So better to endure the embarrassment rather than to do the Avera. So it just seems to me that here we have something very similar. Here, Izebel tries to entice him. Now, if Izebel was an ugly person, then what was she trying to do? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Clearly, she thought she could entice him. And evidently, she might have been successful. And it seems that he was doing what Rav Amram does in the Gemara. That he realizes that he is in danger. He realizes that he's not going to be able necessarily to get past this Yetzer Hara. So instead, he cries out, who's with me? Who's with me? So people come running up. Now once they're there, the Yetzer Hara goes away because it's now public. So the Yetzer Hara can only work in private. But an act like this is not going to happen in public for most people. So now that dissipates the Yetzer Hara, and he says, go throw her down. Then throw her down. And then he tramples her. He doesn't just kill her. And he wants to, because she had the chutzpah to try to entice him, and he realized she might have been successful. So he tramples her. He wants to show that her beauty is nothing. It's disgusting. And he just completely tramples her body. And then the rest of the story happens. So Yezebel is killed. Finally, Achav is already killed. Yehoram is killed, the son of Achav. And Yehu is successfully rebelling. Now, we're not done with the rebellion because Achav still has children that Yehu has to take care of. And then Yehu has to take care of also the Avodah Zarah of the Baal, which there's a lot of followers of the Avodah Zarah of Baal in Eretz Yisrael. So we're not done with the northern kingdom. We're going to continue in Perek Yod, in chapter 10 next week. We'll continue with still the rebellion of Yehu. However, as I pointed out to you, the southern kingdom, Yehuda, with the line of Malchus Beis David, is now in a very bad way. And that's critical for what's going to happen, in that we don't have any descendants of Yehoshaphat left, other than Yehoram. Yehoram was killed. Then came Ahaziah, and Ahaziah was killed, and his brothers had already been killed. So the only ones left would be the next generation, Ahaziah's children, and possibly the children of his brothers, his nephews. But we are in a very precarious way. So this is going to be very significant once we move on to Asalia and Malchus Yehuda. But next week, Mirtzah Hashem, we're going to continue with the successful rebellion of Yehu. And it's important to note again, I just want to emphasize, we'll stop with this, that Yehu at this time is a tzaddik. He's doing what Hashem wants him to do. And he was given the zchus to wipe out the Rishayim, Achav, and his family. And he's able.
So, I'm still stuck on when Elisha told Yehu what to do, Yehu added this whole part about Achav.
So, Yonah told Yehu what to do.
Yonah.
So, we assume that Elisha told Yonah what to do.
And Yonah added to
So, we assume that Yonah got a nevuah. We assume that either the Navi doesn't tell us the whole story, or Yonah himself got a nevuah.
Okay, but why doesn't Elisha do this himself?
That has to do with the whole story over here. That goes back to the original. This is the final. Remember, we said that Elio was given instructions by Hashem on Har Sinai. One was to anoint Elisha in his stead. He did that. One was to anoint Hazael as king over Aram. He didn't do it, but Elisha did it. And the third was to anoint Yehu as king over Yisrael. So Eliyahu didn't do it, Elisha doesn't do it, Yonah does it. So there we have to understand this progression of what would have been Eliyahu, Elisha, Gehazi is now Yonah, but this progression with Hazael, Yehu, Elisha. These are the various things we have to talk about now. Okay, but we're getting there. A little bit further. We have to go a little bit further before we really start to get into all the details.
Thank you.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.